Welcome, everybody, to the Bros and Consoles podcast, episode 72 on April 24th, 2021. I am one half of your host, Nathan Choquette, joined by Sonic's number one fan, Michael Panarero.
I made an amazing discovery this week.
Oh, do tell.
More specifically, yesterday.
Okay.
Now, When I say an amazing discovery, I mean I could have already known this and never registered it and never connected the dots.
Yeah.
But I found this out yesterday. I'm going to say I found it out for the first time yesterday.
Okay.
So I was on YouTube just watching some Final Fantasy lore stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this is so good. Down the rabbit hole. Saw a comment. Some dude posted, oh, man, I just played Final Fantasy VI on my Vita. And I'm like, I've wanted to play Final Fantasy VI for the longest time, but all I knew of was the NES or the SNES and the SNES Classic. I'm like, It's not on the Vita. Booted up my Vita. First time in a couple months.
Yeah.
Went on the store. What do you know? PS1 Classic Final Fantasy VI had no freaking idea.
Dang.
I probably did because you probably mentioned it to me before.
Yeah, that's how I have all the Final Fantasy games, but is because of the Vita.
Didn't register it. Bought it. And I'm going to play it eventually.
Eventually. Keyword there. Nice. Yeah, dude, they got... Yeah, I think they have, the collection of, like, 1 and 2 on there. Yeah. They have the 3 Complete Edition, which I think was, like, a PSP and, like, DS game or something. Then they have 4, 5, and 6, I think, are all PS1 classics.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they have 7, 8, 9 as PS1 classics. You can buy 10 as an actual Vita game. And
I'm sure they're not, like, the best ports, but it's better than nothing. I don't want to buy an
SNES
right now.
Oh, yeah, for real. Come on, who's got the time or money to go look for that? Can't even find PS5s and Xbox Series X and S's in the wild, Michael. Why would we be able to find an SNES?
It's more likely you'll find a vaccine shot than a PS5.
Oh, wow, yeah. Which is probably a good thing.
Which is pretty, in hindsight, probably a very good thing.
Taking a step back from it, probably a good thing that that's the case. But as you guys all know, this is a podcast about video games, all the things we love about them, all the kind of new releases coming up, and sometimes some cool quizzes and topics of the week. But we'll get all that in just a little bit here.
You mean all the time cool quizzes?
Okay, that's true. Yeah, I was referring to the second part of that, the topics of the week thing. But yeah, we got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about here. Kind of lighter news week, but kind of some big bangers in there that are pretty exciting. First, though, just want to give you guys an update. We do have a, I guess you'd call it not a new release. It's a release date that was kind of announced. We were kind of waiting for. When I say we, I mean I guess people in general with PS5s and stuff. Genshin Impact. Mm. If you have played that on PS4, and it's pretty cool, you have a chance to get the PS5 version coming out on April 28th. So that is officially the release date for that.
Nice.
So very, very cool.
Did you get the other release date of the big game?
Wait, which one is it? Refresh my memory, because I've all these dates, they all just blur.
It's a JRPG from a series that we both, I would say, enjoy.
Huh.
Again, it could be pushed, could be delayed, but they've given a solid date. Bandai Namco.
Oh, yes.
Tales of Arise.
Thank you for that. Yeah, Tales of Arise. Hold on a second. I can pull it up, because now I can actually see it on the PS5 store coming out. Okay, that date's wrong. All the PS5 ones, always a day early, so it's the 10th, right?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, so September 10th is when Tales of Arise comes out, and, you know, obviously 3 hours ahead for most games like this. Sometimes, like,
Capcom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't do that, which is stupid.
Yeah, that whole week, because that was Nier Automata, right?
Monster Hunter.
Oh, Monster Hunter, okay, and they were like, oh, yeah, like, no one can play until 1 a.m. on the day it releases type of thing.
Yep.
Weird stuff, but... You know, all these release dates can be confusing, but that's why you come here, for us to give you the updates and all that stuff, you know?
That's exactly why you come here.
For that and all the wacky conversations, right, Michael?
Exactly.
Okay, so now that we have those updates out of the way there, Michael, what have you been playing lately?
Not a whole lot, but I'll start with, I mentioned my PS Vita.
Yeah.
Booted it up for the first time in 4 or 5 months.
I was going to say earlier, I think you said 2 months.
Couple months, five, whatever.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I forgot I had Chrono Trigger on it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm slowly restarting that.
Okay. Restarting as in, like, you started a new game?
Yes, because I think I was, like, 4 to 5 hours into it.
Okay.
And I previously played it.
Not too bad then.
So I was like, I'll just refresh myself and play through the start. And then more Monster Hunter Rise. Mm-hmm. Can't get away from it.
Yeah.
I think I've played it even for like 30 minutes every day.
Nice.
That's so far, cool. Minus a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But I've said all I've said about it. It's great.
Yeah. Are you through all of the... Because, you know, like in World, right? There was like, you know, you finish the main story stuff and then there is like additional things afterwards, but it doesn't seem like it unless you start playing it kind of thing.
Yes. So I've rolled the credits.
Yeah. There we go.
But there's the village quest and there's the hub quest. The village quest is the story,
gotcha.
Which is the easier single player. Mm-hmm. Just go in and go. Rolled the credits on that, but there's still things coming for that after. So the game is like story stuff is still happening, but I think like the main story is done.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then I have the hub, which is like the multiplayer, more difficult hunts,
okay.
stuff to get. Because gotcha. I'm only, I think, 3 or 4 on that.
Okay.
I think it goes up to 7 or 8.
Oh, okay. Okay. And so is that, because is there still like what the hunter rank?
Mm-hmm.
And is this a different thing than the hunter rank?
Or nope, is it same thing.
Okay. Okay.
Hunter rank.
But so max is like around the 7 or 8?
Yes. As of right now. I know they're releasing new stuff at the end of this month.
Okay. Okay. I was wondering if that was going to
keep
add.
Doing it. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense then. Okay.
But then the next one, no, not the next one, not the last one. The next one I played is Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, wait, you beat that game?
I beat the game, but I never beat the DLCs.
Ah.
So I beat Episode Ignis, Prompto, and Gladios.
Wow. How long are these episodes?
Okay. There are a couple hours each.
Oh, okay.
Prompto can be longer because there's like side quests you can do and stuff in the bigger open world you're in.
Yeah.
But I didn't do those. Okay. I did one, but that was about it. But they all take place at a certain point within the game's mainline story.
Okay, so is it like a thing where... I know I have the DLCs as well, but if you were to play like the main game, do you have to play the full main game first and then jump into the DLCs? Okay, would it be better to play the full game first and then jump into the DLCs? Or is it like
I would say jump into a... Yes, probably.
Okay.
Because there are certain points in the main game you'll notice like your character, something happens to them, or they're away from you currently and you can't play at them.
Gotcha.
And that is usually when
something's
that DLC
like that.
Happens for them. You see what happened to them or what they're doing.
Okay,
that
that's cool.
Time away or whatever.
I'm curious if like the game then would be like, hey, like you can play this part now.
I think it does actually. Like, this option's available to you now. You can jump in and see what's happening.
Oh, okay.
But I know
okay.
when you beat Final Fantasy 15, a whole bunch more stuff opens up for you.
Okay, gotcha.
Like a whole bunch.
Yeah, like side mission.
Side missions, okay. Trial modes, and just more stuff than you would normally get if you're just going through it.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then there's also Episode Arden.
Yeah.
I haven't bought it yet because it didn't come with the.
The Royal Edition.
The
or
Royal
something.
Edition, because yeah. I think it came after.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll probably buy that and play it.
Okay.
What a fantastic game, man. God, it is just... I get the critiques.
Mm-hmm.
The game has flaws, yes. It's not all cohesive. It's not perfect, but I don't understand the massive hate it gets. It's such a good game.
Mm.
Character-wise, gameplay-wise, story. Story is even good. There's parts that's like, eh. But overall... So good. And then the last one, Nier Replicant.
Mm-hmm. I almost thought you were going to say Automata.
I was going to, but I was like, hey, nope, Replicant. I've played a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this... I've realized with Nier,
yeah,
Nier is one of those mediums that I chalk it up to like Evangelion or Oyasumi Poon Poon, those things where...
Oh, okay. You got to be in a certain mood to do it.
To do it for a long period of time.
Gotcha.
Because it has that very, I don't want to say dreadful atmosphere, but just very uncomfortable and despair and sad. It's like Automata had that a lot, so I couldn't do it in doses, but this one within the first couple minutes, you're like, oh, man.
Dang, okay, that's fast.
I feel so bad. It sucks. But it's great so far. Gameplay's good.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me kind of want to go back and see how... The original was, because it's interesting. This isn't, it's kind of like a remake and a remaster, because there was the first, there was Nier, which is what this game is.
Mm-hmm.
There was a version that came out in Japan, which was what this one's based off of. So the main character you're playing as a brother.
Mm-hmm.
The one we got in the U.S. or in Europe was near Gesalt.
Yeah.
And that one you play as the father, as a father figure.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, and that one is what's called Nier on like the PS3 and stuff,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's the original Nier.
Mm-hmm.
So Nier Replicant is a remake, remaster of Nier, the Japanese version.
Gotcha.
With the brother.
Yeah, it had another added thing to the name as well.
I don't remember what it was called, but...
Gotcha, okay.
It's kind of confusing, but it's super intriguing to see the differences and stuff.
Okay, okay. Now, what's it called? I know you're early on still, right? And since it's kind of a, like you said, like, you know, remaster, remake of, like, an older game, does it still feel as polished as, like, Automata and stuff for you?
Or it's close.
Okay,
the gameplay is not as fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not as fast and, like, quick. Because I was reading, and it makes sense that Automata is the fighting gameplay is supposed to be something you forget about because it's so fluid. You just go in, get it done, and you go on to your next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of because the story is the prevalent thing.
Okay.
But this one's more action-y, more, I guess, slowed down than Automata's gameplay, but it's still very good. It's in that terms, it's more of a remake
because
it's more modern and it's almost like a whole new game, but it's not.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I heard that there's some cool things that were added, like the what was it? I think there was some kind of trailer thing that went up on the one of the dashboard things for the PS5, and they mentioned how for Nier Replicant they added in like almost it sounded like a redone like musical score it's all like orchestral and stuff now.
There's older tracks still in there, and there's redone tracks.
Gotcha. And you can choose initially which one you want, kind of thing.
No, I think it's just they're just thrown in there.
Oh, okay. So they
from what I've heard.
Gotcha. Okay, that's pretty
cool.
It's
great though. I like the Nier series.
Mm. Okay. Okay. And now it sounds like Automata is kind of at the top so far until you've maybe had more time with Replicant to figure out which where it goes.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
It's cool. Automata. 50 plus hours near 4 hours or Replicant 4 hours.
Gotcha. Now, well, no, I was gonna say if you could go in the Wayback Machine to like when you only played a few hours of Automata, could you like compare the opening of Automata to Replicant or not really?
No, because they're both about the same.
Oh, okay.
There's that's action good, that happens, but there's not too much that goes on because they're.
Yeah, they're kind of building up until you get later on.
Laying down the foundation. They don't tell you really much, but they just slowly build.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good, though. That's good. I'm glad that it sounds like that game is doing pretty well. Yeah. A lot of chef's kisses over here.
So much.
Okay. I mean, for me, let's see. I'm trying to remember. I always like cheat a little bit, and I look at my PSN profiles to figure out what I played recently. So I think one of the ones that I'll talk about is one actually that I jumped into that I haven't played in like years, and Horizon Zero Dawn.
Nice.
I started playing that. Originally I had, platinum the game, and then Frozen Wilds came out. I played a little bit of it, I think when it came out in 2018, 2019 or something, and then just kind of fell off. It had been so long since I'd played, Horizon, and that I was just like, I don't remember how to fight these monsters very well. I'm getting my butt whooped. And I was just like, okay, I played a little bit, and I was like, I'm back to playing whatever else I was playing that year. But now, going back into it now, because, ideally, if Forbidden West is coming up soon, I want to finish the Frozen Wild stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to break out a disc anymore, because it came with the Play at Home kind of digital downloads. I started playing Frozen Wilds again there, and I think, I don't know what it is, but it's like now the combat is clicking with me again, where I'm like, okay, I've almost kind of got the hang of like how I was playing maybe previously, and so I don't feel quite as like out of the loop.
Lost,
So it's been nice. I like seeing Aloy on the screen. It's been a long time since I've seen her playing on there. Oh yeah, so very good. So besides that one, I tried out a few games. I started up Sparklight, which is a indie game where it reminds me a little bit of kind of like older Zelda type games. It's got a cool like intro kind of scene where tutorial mixed with like setting up the story type of thing for you. But I was sad already like at the very beginning because I started this like thing, right? And you know, you're on this ship and your ship is, you know, flying through a storm, and your little robot buddy who's flying with you, he's like telling you like, oh man, the storm's real bad. Like, we should probably, like, you know, try to land or something. And then, you know, parts of the ship start to, like, you know, a few monsters start to appear on the deck. So you got to go fight those things. And then parts of the ship start to kind of like fall apart. Oh. And you're trying to like hammer these things like down into place. And I'm just like, oh, this is pretty cool. Like, you know, teaching me how to do this. Not very well, because yeah. It wasn't like telling me like, oh, go press this button or hold this button to do this kind of thing. It's like only if I tried to like stand by it and I didn't know what I was doing, then it was like, oh, hey, you got to do this. I'm like, okay, guys, maybe just tell me first and I can do it. But as I was kind of, you know, doing that stuff, the ship is starting to fall apart and I'm just like, oh, this isn't looking good, guys. This is not great. And then did a weird thing where I got to the point where the robot was like, hey, like, we got to, you know, get out of here. And I was just like, okay, cool. Like, where's the escape pod? I don't know how to, you know, I don't know where it is.
Mm-hmm.
I go to, you know, it's a pretty small screen. I go to like one side of the ship and I'm looking at this like big exclamation point on like a monitor type of thing. And I'm like, okay, there's nothing to interact with here. I can't actually, you know, escape over here. And then I realize, oh, it's on the opposite side, you know, not that far away. But I started making my way over there and got on top of the... what is that called? It was like a switch that you have to, you know, open up the escape pod with. And when I did that, everything just like got stuck, and not like the game froze, but like my character wasn't moving and I couldn't move her. And then the robot buddy wasn't moving, but I could still see the storm animating in the background and stuff. And I was like, this is weird. Something uh-huh. happened here, clearly. And so I realized that like the robot is supposed to then kind of like move over towards you and start talking again. But because he was now on the other side of like the ship's mast type of thing, it's like a flying ship. He then couldn't cross over for some reason. And so he was stuck and he couldn't continue the dialogue.
No. Did you have to restart it?
Yeah, I did. Oh. It was like, I don't know, like less than 5 minutes in kind of thing. Right, so I was just like, okay, that was a funny little bug that I ran into.
Within the first couple minutes of the game.
Yeah, for real. And I was like, darn it.
Was this one of the games, because I look at PSN occasionally for You and Me Both.
Oh, yeah.
Is this one of those games you started up to get a trophy for that day?
Yeah,
noticed on like some of your lists, you've got one trophy, the next day one trophy, the next mm-hmm. day one trophy.
Yeah, you know what I'm doing, man. I'm keeping up with it. I don't have one for today yet, but actually, hold on a second.
You do not.
Do I have one for yesterday is the question.
15 hours ago is your last one.
Okay, thank goodness. I made it. Oh, that's all right. Okay. But yeah, so I got, you know, got that bug. I restarted the game and then, you know, did it without going around the ship that time. I was like, okay, gotta be careful. Don't lead the robot buddy over here. He's not smart enough.
Right.
And so I get over to, you know, the like pressure plate again, right? I do that, the hatch opens up and the robot flies over to it and he's like, hey, quick, we gotta get in here and get out of here. You step off the pressure plate. And I guess I shouldn't say pressure plate. It's supposed to just be a switch.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you step off of it, but now it's like a pressure plate. And so the ship escape pod closes and the robot's like, oh no, like the thing is broken. And it's like, okay, like no time to waste. You got to just go and I'll like hold this thing open. And I was like, what, robot buddy? We just got acquainted. What are you doing to me, game?
It tells the Borderlands all over.
Oh my gosh. And so like, I hop off this thing. I go over to the other side. He opens it up and he's like, hey, like, you know, just so you know, it was great, like, working with you and everything, and I'm going to miss you type of thing. And I was just like, oh, man. And so I hop in this escape pod and, you know, I crash land on this, like, this world below type of thing. And it's pretty cool so far. Like, I mean, the sprites are all really, you know, fantastic looking.
Yeah.
Moving around reminds me of, like, a Zelda game. Just, you know, updated kind of sprites look.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, which was a nice thing, it's not really spoilers because it's like less than 30 minutes into this game, I run into the robot buddy again. And he's okay. So wild ride of emotions.
Pulling your heartstrings there.
Full I know, for real. But then he gets eaten by this rock monster and you get like pulverized pretty immediately by this rock monster. Like you can try to fight it, but it's like one of those things where I think you may be able to beat it if you are really good at the game that you've never played before.
If not, it's...
But yeah, it's just kind of like, you know, he's way overpowered and you're going to lose pretty easily for most cases, I would assume.
Right.
So, you know, he pulverized me and then I wake up in some clinic and I, you know, now I'm like, dang it, I got to go save my robot buddy again.
I got eaten.
Mm-hmm. So that's been a fun little thing to play. Scourgebringer, I've played before on Xbox mm-hmm. and I picked it up on PS4. It is not a cross-buy game. So because I love the Vita, and this is one of the last games coming out to the Vita, I bought it on Vita as well.
More trophies.
So yeah, dual trophy list, which is nice. So I'm going to have it on both places. And then picked up Smelter, which is one that we talked briefly about last week.
Okay.
It's the one that's, you know, switches between that like 2D action platformer type of gameplay and the weird like overworld strategy type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so far it's not too bad.
Oh, nice.
Like the I really, you know, enjoy the 2D part, which I knew I think that I would.
Yes.
And the strategy portion is less strategy so far from what I've seen in like the first like 30 minutes or something than I was expecting it was going to be.
Okay.
So it's not quite too bad. I've played like minimal amounts of strategy game things before, like RTS type stuff.
Yes.
And because I'm not great at those, I don't normally play a lot of them, but this one I could probably do. It's not crazy taxing on my brain so far.
Right.
So
that's why I don't play them.
Yeah. Is you know it was the one that broke me is back in high school, I believe, when our buddies Brandon and Brian, and I guess maybe Aaron as well, were playing, what is that, Command and Conquer Red Alert 3.
God.
And I was like, this is a cool game. That was the first, I think, what not the first, but one of the first strategy games that I played, like, you know, in high school times kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think before that, I had maybe played, like, I don't know, Heroes of Might and Magic on, and Warlocked on, like, the Game Boy Color or something.
Right.
So that, but besides those type of things, never played, like, other strategy games until this Command & Conquer thing. And I was like, this is pretty cool. But Brian was way too good at this game.
No, thank you.
He played as, like, the Japanese army all the time, and they had those, you know, robots that transform and things, and he just decimated me every time. So I was just like, nah. I can't get good at strategy games, guys. I can't do it.
You need a special, it's like fighting games. You need a special affinity and patience to get good at these games.
Oh, yeah, And that's the thing, too, is like, I think for strategy games, you have to really put the time in to, like fighting games, right? You have to really put the time and practice in to get better at these things and probably to start seeing like ways to get better at mm-hmm. them. Because for me, I'm just like, okay, make as many troops as possible.
Then just
and then everybody rush over there.
I don't need a block. I don't need a defend. Just keep attacking. Constantly.
Yeah, I'm just like, come on, guys. Like, you can't be that bad. But then, you know, you play against real people and it's like, I'm not good at this at all.
Nope.
yeah, like the same thing. One of my friends from optometry school, Shuyi, she streams, was it StarCraft 2?
Oh, God.
And she's so good at this thing. Like, I watch and I'm like, she's a magician. I don't know what's going on here. There's so many mouse clicks and keyboard clacks that I'm just like, it's crazy. It's like magic watching
those
what's
going people
on.
Who play League and StarCraft and any of that is just
it's
beyond
another,
my way of thinking.
Yeah, it's not a pun, but it's another league. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's
basically.
Just like I can't even like imagine being good like that at these games.
It's like we're the hunters and people in Bloodborne,
mm-hmm.
and they are the cosmological and,
I gotcha.
And horrors okay. that our human brains can't comprehend.
Yeah.
So we slowly go mad seeing it.
Mm-hmm. They're the was that great ones? That
the great called? Ones, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get it. I get you. that's a deep lore reference there for Bloodborne. Oh, man. But yeah, so besides Smelter, you know, like you mentioned, Cozy Grove, I've been playing that still.
Nice.
I have now a solid, you know, I don't know, 15-16 days of like, you know, consistent play and stuff for that game. But now I have a solid critique with the game because the loading on this game is insane, Michael.
Oh, nice.
It's insane. Like,
well, not nice.
Yeah, not nice. It's like, you know how like, I've mentioned I've been playing things on PS5, right? So that cuts the loading time on like every single game I play pretty much,
right.
Which I'm just like, this is great, you know? I can't go back to playing the PS4 now because I'm just like, it's so long to load some of these things.
Yeah.
And I hadn't realized it until I think like a few days ago when I was playing Cozy Grove that I was just like, this is taking quite a bit of time to load initially. Like, you know, I start up the game, you know, game loads fine, right? It brings me to the start screen. I press a button and it's like, oh, continue or change your save file. And I'm like, okay, continue. When I hit that, I'm watching this little cute like campfire silhouette type of thing. You know, it's moving around and stuff. See the progress bar at the bottom slowly making its way. And then it kind of like hangs and chugs and then it moves some more and hangs and chugs. And I'm just like, this is weird that it's taken this long. And so I had the thought of like, you know what? I'm going to time how long this takes and see if it's, you know, a consistent thing or, you know, if it's changing and stuff. And consistently, this game takes about a minute and a half to load. every time I start it up. And I'm just like, guys, this is not.
It's funny you say that because Animal Crossing is the same exact way.
Yeah, and that's what brought on the whole idea of like timing this thing is that I think on the Kinda Funny guys when they were talking about Animal Crossing a little bit in one of their I think Gamescast things, they mentioned that Animal Crossing was taking like forever to load.
Yep.
And I was like, why is this taking so long to load? Also, this is on the PS5. It should be faster. And I'm just like, oh, this is weird now. Like, you know, it's breaking my brain a little bit. I can't fathom why every other game, you know, like I load up Horizon Zero Dawn, right? Which is also a PS4 game, but way more going on in that world than there is in Cozy Grove, you know, in my, you know, view of the everything going on.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, I go and load that up. It takes less than a minute to load the entire thing. And I'm just like, what's the difference, guys? What's happening here?
It could be chalking up to something. They're just a smaller indie, and they just didn't have the.
That's what I figure. But I'm just like, oh, it's crazy that like, you know.
And they have to so produce the worlds that are happening things and like produce like what has happened already kind of things.
Yeah, and I'm sure you know probably you know I was you know hypothesizing that the more that I play this game. And the more things that are now on the island, the longer it seems to take to load. So I'm just like, okay, like, there's no way around it. It's kind of like a weird, not to the same extent, but like when Skyrim was breaking for people because they had too many things like activated throughout the world and stuff. And so, you know, when the save file got to a certain point, you couldn't play the game anymore. It would just crash. I'm associating it kind of with that, where it's not, you know, crashing the game, but I notice sometimes when I move across the island, I'll get to a certain area and then like the textures won't pop in for like a solid 1 or 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's just like, you know, it goes from blank screen to like, boom, like things are there. And I'm just like, oh geez, I've seen the, you know, the outer seams of this game, but it's, you know, it's still like, you know,
it's
just kind of like mindless fun in like a nice way to kind of put it there. But, you know, I mean, besides that, you know, I think it's fun to still jump into it, but I think I am reaching that point where I'm just like, okay, I think I'm good for now.
Right.
You know, I'm getting close to there.
I think those are the good things with those games. It's always, you can always stop it, and then it just always come back to it, like, whenever you want.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I figured if things were like for Animal Crossing also, where it's just, you know, the reason I didn't jump into that one was because I'm like, eh, you know, no trophies. Also, like...
You know, I'm curious, like, Is that a good reason why you're not playing the Switch? Because there's no trophies? Because I've noticed when I play the PS4 for a while, I'll be getting these trophies. And then I'm like, oh, I have all these Switch games. I'm like, oh, but there's no trophies. I'm like, oh, no, I don't think like that. I don't want it. That's terrible. And then I jump into Switch. I'm like, okay, I'm enjoying these games for what they are and stuff.
I think, you know, I think we're probably in similar places. And I'm gonna like put a pin in this topic because this is actually a topic that I was gonna bring for topic of the week kind of thing.
Okay.
Where, you know, I'll say just to start off with that, you know, I think we think similarly about those things to that extent where I'm just like, yeah, but there's no trophies though. Like, and that's probably where we like then like separate in terms of like thought process, because, you know, like you said for yours, it's like, no. I gotta go and do this. I'm not gonna think about that.
Yeah.
And then for me, I'm just like, yeah, no trophies.
Oh, so man.
Like, I was like, because that's the thing, too, is like, you know, we'll put a pin there.
We'll put a pin there.
Right there. Imagine this is like a big old tomato thing and just put a pin in it.
There we go.
Yeah. It was a pin cushion. That's what those are. There we go. It's like the tomato things. But yeah, let's see. Yeah, I think that's pretty much the last thing. In terms of stuff that I think I'm going to jump into next, I think I'm going to try and play some more Scourgebringer later on today. Because I really enjoy that game, and you know, there are some trophies I can pop early on for there, but more so I want to like see more of that thing, because, you know, played some on the Xbox and was like, man, I really want to play this like fully when it comes to PS4. Don't know when that's happening because they haven't said anything. And then finally it came, and I'm like, okay, yeah, now I got to give it the attention that I wanted to give it previously. So
which is good.
Got that one coming up. In terms of some news things, I'm just go ahead and take a slight detour here. Usually, you know, we got some news that we can kind of piece out into different things. I've got like a couple PlayStation related news things this week. One of them kind of more of a big thing, but we're probably not going to talk about it super in depth, just because it's like, you know, it's cool that it happened. Yep. And you know, that's what should have happened.
That's exactly what it should have been from the start.
Exactly. And then one more thing that's kind of a new game, and we'll get into that in just a moment here. I did have one thing that I wanted to bring in, and here it is. Okay, so for people that are, you know, normal listeners to the podcast, and for new listeners alike, You can always write into brosandconsoles@gmail.com with questions, comments, or feedback, or just sometimes, you know, just friendly emails and stuff, right? We got an email this morning. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 5:28 this morning. From one Juliet Frankel. And
what
I have
a name.
No idea if this is a if this is a real person or not. No subject line in there. just said hi. So hi, Juliet. There you go.
Yeah, hi.
Sometimes, all right. You know, it's that's, you know, if
amen. It shows there's people out there.
It is, yeah, right. And that's the thing too, is like, you know, sometimes we get we'll get an email here or there kind of thing. I know I also use this email for like, you know, podcast and gaming specific related kind of things. But sometimes we'll get an email in there and we'll be like, oh, you know, this is cool to kind of see here. Other times it'll just be, you know, what could be a spam email, could be a real email. Who knows, you know, because maybe it's real, maybe it's spam. But one way to think about it silver lining wise is if it is a spam email, Michael.
It's a friendly spam email.
Yeah, it's a friendly spam email, right? There's no like shady links to click on. There's no like, hey man, if you want to make $3,000 a day, click this thing below. It's like, oh, you know, this is nice.
Just a nice hi.
Yeah. So hi, Juliet. Thank you for writing in.
Yes.
Now moving on to the regular news of the week, Michael. We got news that the PS3 and PS Vita stores will continue their operations. That's right, thank everybody. God. That's right. We made it live. We made it keep living, Michael.
It's good that Jim Ryan was the one that
wrote
the email or the message in the blog.
Honestly, I don't think anyone else could have written it.
No. Yeah.
He would have had to been the one.
I also saw like comments, people saying, oh, Sony just did this. They said they're going to close the stores, and then they were hoping for this backlash. So then they'll say, oh, we're not doing that. We're actually keeping them open to make it look good, like they're doing good and stuff. I'm like, that's a big scheme to do that, like a roller coaster of things. But
out of all the like conspiracy theories that could be out there, I don't think that's a valid, solid one. One's not one worth being a conspiracy theory.
Yeah,
in my mind. But
this should have been from the start. They shouldn't have closed it.
Yeah, and it's correct. They didn't actually close it, but they shouldn't have said that they were going to close it, kind of thing. You know, just because. I mean, I think it was pretty. I feel like it would have been pretty obvious that people would have reacted strongly to this.
You'd think so.
And, you know, people did. And the nice thing is that, you know, they listened. And they're like, okay, we get it, guys. We won't close it. So
they're not tone deaf.
Yeah, yeah. They are keeping the plans to close the PSP store, which I'm like, okay, makes sense, guys. I don't know how old the PSP is, but that thing was pirated to heck. And, you know, I can't imagine.
It's like only Japan now, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah. I can't imagine you're making money on that outside of people living in Japan type of thing. But in terms of that one, PSP store is still going to close on July 2nd, like it was planned of this year. But we'll still have the PS3 and Vita stores operational. The weird thing is that, you know, because of all these talk of closures and whatnot, I did go in and try to buy some things on the different stores, and both stores are kind of a mess. Like, try and use, like, PS3 store, for one, feels super, super old.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vita store, more recently, because that was a thing where I was looking for Scourgebringer when it released and stuff, right? I found it fine on the, you know, the PS4 store, or, you know, via the PS5 and whatnot. And then went to look for it on the Vita, because I was like, okay, like, I want to see, for one, if it's cross-buy, which the PS4 version didn't say it was. So I was like, okay, I don't expect it. But I went to go look to see, and then I couldn't find Scourgebringer on the Vita store. And I think only the next day when I checked again, it was finally up. I think I checked a few times throughout that day on, the 22nd. And hadn't shown up, like, the entire time. I would search for, like, the name itself. I went to, like, new releases and didn't see any updates there. And then when it finally did show up yesterday on via, like, search and stuff, I went to new releases again to check for it, and it's still not there.
That's
so it's
weird.
Yeah, it's like they're not even really updating the, you know, things in there that it would make sense to update. But, you know, as long as you're in tune to the Vita store, which I think people that are still buying games for it are,
yeah,
they know kind of roughly what's coming out, and they can just go ahead and search for it manually.
It's true.
But extra steps, you know, why make these things harder for us to give you money?
Because,
right?
Things are never easy.
I know, for real. But very cool. Very cool to see this reversal. I'll just read real quick here a little bit from the statement. They said, when we initially came to the decision to end purchasing support for PS3 and PS Vita, it was born out of a number of factors, including commerce support challenges for older devices and the ability for us to focus more of our resources on newer devices where a majority of our gamers are playing on. We see now that many of you are incredibly passionate about being able to continue purchasing classic games on PS3 and PS Vita for the foreseeable future. So I'm glad we were able to find a solution to continue operations.
Good.
So, there we go.
Let's hope the foreseeable future is...
At least, you know, a few more years.
Yes. Kind of thing,
you know? If it's, you know, if we get to like 2024, 2025, and they're like, okay, guys, for real now we're going to close
it.
I'd be like, okay, we had time, you know, it's understandable. Hopefully by that time, you know, they can close it. Hopefully, you know, once they find some kind of way to like link things in.
Into right? the new store.
Yeah. Like if you can find a way to just make, you know, PS Now, like some of the features accessible via, I mean, you know, obviously PS Now, you can stream PS3 games and stuff, like find a way to link it so that we can stream games that we own on the PS3
right
on the new stuff. Like, you know, these things are supposed to be super powerful computers in our homes, right? Like let's
do that.
Let's figure it out, you know. let's see what we can do with it. But yeah, I mean, if you close it a few years from now, I think it's, you know, at that point it's like, okay, yeah, pretty old at that point. So makes more sense. And then the other piece of news from PlayStation again is that they have a new, I guess like a new AAA multiplayer game in the works from Firewalk. And basically, you know, they have kind of a statement up on the PlayStation blog. Tony Hsu, who is the studio head of Firewalk Studios, he mentions in there that, you know, they have people who are working on the team that have experience from things like Destiny, Guitar Hero, Bioshock Infinite, Mass Effect, Apex Legends, like a whole bunch of different types of things, even like Call of Duty and stuff is in there. And basically, you know, their inspiration is they want to create cool multiplayer experiences. And I feel like it's not something that we get a whole lot from, especially like first party type studios. Yeah. We get, especially on the Sony side, we get a lot of, you know, single player, story focused, action adventure type games and stuff from Sony. And we don't get a whole lot of these kind of smaller type of genres. And I would consider multiplayer to be more of a smaller niche genre. Whereas, you know, a lot of like multiplayer games may be super popular with, you know, people that don't play a wide variety of things, but that still, you know, makes it somewhat of a niche. It's just a popular niche, you know?
It's true.
So very cool. Very cool to that. We don't have any
news
on kind of what the game is at the moment, other than, you know, it's going to be a multiplayer game and yeah, we'll have to kind of see.
I will probably not play.
Michael, don't say that. We want track these things.
Come on.
Well, I think I will definitely try it out, because I think the idea of a, you know, first party, or I don't even know if they count it as first party, but it's like, you know, direct help from Sony in terms of kind of like, you know, publishing and funding kind of thing.
Right.
Getting that kind of attention for a multiplayer game that they would classify as AAA type of thing, I think is pretty rare. And so if it's something that's going to be pretty cool from that, I'll try it out and see what it's all about. Because, you know, if they can make something even like decent on that front, then, you know, making sure that they know that there's support behind it means that they can get, you know, an even better product the next time around, if that's the case.
Yep.
So very, very cool to kind of see that. Just kind of going like slight tangent off of that. I didn't realize until recently that what's called the Knockout City that's coming out for. Yeah. The dodgeball game. I think it was announced on one of the Nintendo. I was going to say Nintendo Presents. That's not Nintendo Indie Direct Showcase type things. Yeah. Was it on the indie one or was it on the Nintendo Direct? Do you remember?
It might have been on the Nintendo Direct. I don't think it was on the Indie Showcase.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, I think it was the Direct itself. But when they showed it on there, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Like, this, you know, looks like a Nintendo game type of thing. And then, you know, to find out it's coming to Xbox and PlayStation and stuff also, and it's going to be, like, you know, day one fully cross-play and all that kind of thing. I was like, huh. Pretty cool. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, like kind of, I'm not going to necessarily jump into a dodgeball game just like without ever playing anything about it or hearing stuff about it first. Right. So I was like, okay, I'll probably save money for now and kind of, you know, wait until I hear a little bit more about it. And recently I heard that it's going to be $20. And I was like, that's awesome. So now I think I went from being like, you know, I'll wait to like, I'd pick it up just to start playing it to see how it is. Yeah. To see how it is. Cause it's not a huge, like, you know, price for entry kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, if it's awesome, I get to play when people are not super great at it.
That's true.
And so then maybe I won't be as garbage at it. You know what I'm saying?
I know I will be garbage at it regardless.
No, Michael, that's why we jump in early. We get in when all these, you know, these little kids are playing and stuff, and we just clean shop.
I am the little kid in gameplay. That would be me.
No, Michael, we're adults. We got this. Faster reflexes. Actually, I think kids have faster reflexes.
I think they do.
At a certain age, right? Certain age, yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, we will slowly get older and our reflexes will go down the drain. You know what I'm saying?
I've heard once you hit 25... Correct me if I'm wrong, because you're a doctor. That's when you start dying.
Oh,
that's when your body starts.
A little longer than that. 30.
30
is what I've been told as well.
Okay, close enough.
Very close, but yeah. So I'm almost there, Michael. Almost there.
We're both almost there. Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. But yeah, should be fun. Multiplayer things there. Oh, and then the other one that is pretty cool. Let me see. I'm going to get the name wrong. Oh, there it is. Hood Outlaws and Legends.
Oh, yeah.
That one is apparently, you know, that's a PS5 multiplayer game, only going to be $30. And I was like, heck yeah, man. Bring on all these, you know, new experiences, wacky little things, and make them, like, affordable for people. Because, you know, video games are expensive. Like,
yes, they are.
I know they used to be more expensive back in, like, the early, like, you know, NES and SNES kind of things. But they're still expensive.
They're still
expensive,
yes.
Like, even, you know, even with inflation, all these things, like, I know they're not as expensive as they used to be, but it's still an expensive hobby. And so it's nice when we have these kind of things that are, you know, budget friendly, right?
Yep.
But still look like pretty cool things. So I'm excited about those ones coming up, at least for multiplayer kind of stuff. And then we'll wait and see what happens with Firewalk Studios and all that. Now, that's what I got for news this week, Michael.
Nice.
We're gonna come back to that pin.
The pin.
I'm taking the pin back out from that pin cushion tomato.
Throw it across the room.
Oh, geez. Dangerous. That's a sharp thing there. Just throwing it. That's true. Maybe metaphorical pins are dull. Who knows? But we're gonna come back to that now because I had a thought, you know, earlier this week, and sometimes I like to think about these things.
Right.
And I was just like, you know, this would be a good thing to discuss on the podcast. And that's that question, I think, is good because we have kind of two different, you know, sides of this coin, right?
Yes.
This trophy slash achievement coin. And that was, you know, just thinking about it in terms of just video games where we are currently, right? How do you feel that trophies and achievements have kind of, you know, changed things? And do you feel like they're a negative thing for games?
I'll be honest. Yes and no.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine. That makes sense.
I would say I lean more towards yes.
Oh, okay. Do tell, Michael.
Because I like trophies. I like what they're there for. It gives you a sense of accomplishment and like progress. Like, oh man, I'm gaining these things from playing a game. But then I feel like I mentioned to you earlier, it gets to the, I'm nowhere near a trophy getter or a trophy hunter. But I'll sometimes get in mindset like, oh, this game doesn't have a trophy list or it doesn't have trophies.
Yeah.
There's no need to play it. And I hate that mindset.
Yeah.
Because then if I get in that mindset, then there's so many games that I'm just going to ignore and miss out on and not even try because I'm not getting a trophy in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, kind of talking about those things specifically, I think that one of the things that, you know, comparing between, because I know sometimes people lump like trophies and achievements all together and stuff. I think, you know, on two different areas, like they've, you know, Sony has gotten some good things right that I think Microsoft could benefit from having, and Microsoft has gotten some things that Sony could benefit from.
Mm-hmm.
On the side of, let's just talking about, I think because I think Xbox is technically ahead in how they do their system. On Xbox's side, if Xbox were to copy Sony in having a, you know, like an ultimate type thing and kind of, you know, ranks of types of achievements, I think that would be cooler for their thing rather than just like a flat, like, you know, number for gamer score and whatnot, because that number is just, you know, that was one of the things that I didn't care about achievements initially. Or like, you know, completing all these like game things and stuff. I didn't care about the percentages on my games that I played on Xbox until I started playing stuff on PlayStation, and then I was like, oh man, platinums, that's where it's at, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But yeah, if it's just like, you know, just a percentage on there, I'm just like, I don't care. I don't feel the need to complete these things. If it's getting, you know, numbers up for like, oh man, I have like 100 something platinum trophies, that's awesome. Like, that was what got me into doing this more. But, you know, where Sony could pull from, like, Microsoft's things here. Like, one, they did pull in Microsoft's noise for, like, a rare achievement kind of thing, mm-hmm. a little bit. They kind of pulled it in. We're on the Microsoft side, because it's linked to percentages of people that have the achievement. Every time it is, I think, like 10% or under, they consider it like an ultra rare type of achievement. And you get a real nice, like, extra ding on, like, the Xbox One when you pop those things.
Right.
It just sounds cooler. On the Sony side now, when you pop a platinum, I'm not sure if it's on the PS4 as well, but for sure on the PS5, there's an extra little nice chime at the end when you pop a platinum trophy. And so that's a cool thing that they've finally, like, added on there.
Mm-hmm.
But where Sony struggles, I think, is that they don't have a system in place that, like, makes everything equal, right? Where, you know, large AAA game over here and, like, little tiny indie game over here have equal weighting in terms of games. Like, obviously, some of them, like, I'm just looking over here, Sakura Succubus over here, which is a random game that came out recently. It's just a visual novel that I think you can get a platinum in, like, under a minute if you want. You know, you have that over here that obviously they found a way to get a platinum trophy in their game. And that clearly, looking on, like, PSN profiles, boosts sales for that thing compared to, I don't know, some other tiny game that has a trophy list, but it's all, like, bronzes, or, like, all bronzes and, like, one or two silvers type of thing. It's mm-hmm. not standardized. And then you do see, like, you know, people aren't buying it as much because it doesn't have that, you know, appeal of being, like, a full game, in quotes, right? And I think that is where things get hurt by it, where it's like, you know, when there's no standard for things, then it's just like, well, you know, why would I play X game over here if I could be playing, like, this real game over here that, you know, clearly has a platinum trophy and is a real game? And that kind of thing sucks. And I think that's you know, standardization across the board could, I think, solve that type of thing.
I think another good thing, I think they should, in my opinion, I think they should give the option to have trophies.
Oh,
or an option to, like, set games to, like, the games you play to get trophies,
mm-hmm.
or have the option to turn it off.
Interesting.
Because I feel like when we first started playing games, didn't really care. Trophies, not at all. Mm-hmm. Nothing. I'm just playing these games because I want to enjoy the games.
Yeah.
And personally, I feel like the emergence of achievements with Xbox and trophies for PlayStation stuff kind of, like, I get why they're there and there's people who enjoy it and it's good for those people, but I feel like it almost takes away some of the reasons why people play video games.
Yeah, and I see what you mean there.
Because, like, and I'm sure you're not the only one, like, when an example, like Sonic Mania, when that didn't have a platinum.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. You were, I don't specifically know what you're, but you're like, oh, it doesn't have a platinum. And I was like, yeah, it doesn't have a platinum. Kind of, yeah, like, lowered it a little bit. I'm sure there's other people out there who are like, oh, has bronzes? I'm never going to play this game.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get anything for this.
21 bronzes is garbage. I'm not going to play this
and
game.
I feel like that just completely takes away why people play video games.
Yeah. Yeah, I do agree with that. And I think that's kind of one of the areas I've been trying to not focus on as much. Like, lately I've been buying games regardless of if they have a platinum, mm-hmm. but I do know that, you know, if they have a platinum, I'm like, oh, extra incentive to get it now,
because right.
you know, I just want it. But yeah, I think that's a cool, I think, idea that you brought up, though, of, like, the what's called choice to have the trophies kind of thing. I had a thought as you were saying that, and I want to see what you think of it, but now, obviously, you know, this would be something that you would choose to have, right? Not something that is just across the board done and forced on people.
Mm-hmm.
What if, you know, you came into a game and, you know, had this option turned on that basically, you know, whenever trophies popped, they weren't actually, you know, showing up in notifications, because I think you can turn notifications off. I believe. I might be wrong about that, but I thought that that's an option for people.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you could turn off, you know, all the trophy notifications on purpose, and then at the end of the game, right, when you finish it, it pops up a, like, you know, the, like, a probably in this case it would be like a percentage type of thing. It's like, hey, like, you earned, you know, 50-something percent of the trophies for this game. Here's what you missed kind of thing. Would that be like, because I feel like trophies, one of the things that trophies and achievements do well is they get people to, you know, try out things in games that they wouldn't have tried out, or find things in games that, you know, they had no idea existed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a cool discovery kind of aspect. I mean, obviously, internet, we can discover a lot of things just by searching with Bing, or I say Bing first because I've been using it for Microsoft.
Oh, God.
We can, you know, search for things on the internet pretty easily to go and be like, oh, I missed this secret. What was it? Or, you know, you search for a game and it's like, hey, here's 10 secrets you didn't know about it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just consume it that way. But I feel like it'd be cool to, you know, have that thing pop up at the end and be like, hey, man, you earned, like, you know, this many trophies in this thing. Here's what they all were. This is the percentage you're at right now. This is what you missed kind of thing. And they'd be like, oh, man, there's things I missed in this game that I just maybe, like, enjoyed or, you know, was, like, eh, on kind of thing. And then it may bring you back into playing it maybe again or, like, another time and be like, you know, I'll return to this kind of thing. Rather than just, like, ah, I don't want to think about these trophies, like, or I don't want to play these other games because they don't have trophies kind of thing. So it's, like, it feels like a, you know, it feels like you're playing without trophies. And at the end, it's like, oh, man, I missed stuff. I want to go and see what those things are.
I get that. I get that. I think I would argue not all, because I'm not a trophy hunter. I know some trophies, like you said, reveal secrets and stuff.
Mm.
And all that stuff. But I know that, like, others are just, like, frustrating. Beat this thing 5 times, you'll get a gold trophy. Yeah, or do this a certain thing. Or turn around the corner and hit this thing, you'll get a trophy. I'm like, I feel like those things are, like, unnecessary. You only do them because you get the trophy for it.
Yeah.
But I think that would be cool, but I think games like my favorite game, Hollow Knight, do it really well.
Mm-hmm.
Because before the end of the game, before the boss fight, you enter the room, and then you can sit on a bench, and then there's this glowing egg. It's not really a spoiler because it doesn't tell you anything about the story.
Yeah.
Glowing egg. You can click on it, and it'll tell you the stats. It'll tell you how many things you've got here, and what your percentage of completing the game is.
That's a good way of doing it. Yeah.
I feel like that would be more ideal personally, because I understand why trophies are there, because in some cases it does get people to play the game again and again.
Yeah.
But I feel like if more games had things like that, like Hollow Knight did, that tells you, like, at a certain point, here's how far you are, here's what you're missing, then that would get people to continue playing more and search out more and find new things.
That's a good kind of way about doing that. I think too, the idea of, you know, like those type of trophies you mentioned, like, oh, like, go beat up, like, okay, like the trophy that you see classically pop up in, like, Uncharted games, right, where it's like, oh, man, the leapfrog one, where you gotta go punch a dude to knock him out, and then you go shoot a dude, and then you punch a dude and shoot a dude, and you gotta do that, like, what, 10 times before it pops the thing. Like, you know, I mean, you know, it's cute if you do it once. If it's a trophy in, like, all 3 Uncharted games, and I don't remember if it's in the 4th one or not, it's just like, okay, guys, like, calm down over here. But yeah, like those ones where it's like, oh, man, go beat up 50 guys by using your special attack kind of thing. It's like, ah, come on, I don't really want to do that. I mean, maybe I'll do it organically, but maybe I won't, because I'm not using specials that often.
There is one trophy in the Spyro remaster. I think I mentioned to you that I got the platinum on.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, that's a crazy platinum.
I thought it would be easy, but no, different story. So one of the last trophies I got was have the final boss run around the thing you chase him 5 times.
Oh,
and
weird.
Because, like, you just have him run around once.
Yeah.
And then you can blow fire at him and he'll go to the area. But you have to do it 5 times to get this trophy. I'm like, this is completely unnecessary. And you're going to the same speed. You can't really... You can slow down, but there are sharp turns and you can die, then you have to redo it all again.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, why is this a thing? I understand the trophy thing because it's an achievement, but it's just unnecessary in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think that's a testament to, like, some trophy lists are, you know, done well and, like, curated well, and I think others are just kind of like, oh, like,
there for there.
We don't know what to do with, you know, they tell us to have, I don't know, 50-something trophies. We don't know what to put them on. I guess go beat up 10 of these dudes by jumping on their heads.
Pick an apple from a tree and eat it.
Yeah.
Silver trophy.
Yeah, so, like, for some things, I think, I don't know, maybe it would just be a good idea for, and, you know, maybe it's an extra added, you know, person that you have in there. Or maybe you task it, like, to an intern or something. Someone who is, like, you know, maybe at a position that they could be, like, doing these types of things when they've already finished whatever else they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, have somebody in there who is, like, specifically being like, okay, like, we gotta think about these trophies and achievements before we just put them on there.
Right.
Because there's some, you know, not just to harp on the trophies, like, some achievements where it's like, oh, if you go and do this specific thing, and I know it's an issue for people because, like, me, like, I look at it and I'm like, that's annoying. but I'm not, you know, I'm not to the point where I'm like, I'm not going to play this type of thing. There are some people who are like, I'm not going to play this game because one of these, you know, unless I get like all the gamer score and stuff, right? One of the achievements is like, oh, you do this thing, you get 7 points. And now your number is not an even gamer score number. And I'm like, yeah, that's garbage. Like, why would you do that to people? Weird. So these weird like choices where it's like, okay, like you could clearly, you know, have someone work on these things and make them, you know, a little bit more thoughtful, yeah, a little funny. Bit more. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like something funny. Like you do a thing and it's like an Easter egg type of thing.
Like I know Undertale did a bunch of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Undertale's trophy list is and probably achievement list as well is ridiculous because it's like it's not something that was I believe originally in the game where in terms of like I think when it was on PC and stuff, right? Where originally there was no like achievements and, you know, trophies and stuff for Undertale, but when it came over to the PS4 and Xbox, it needed those things in there, so to, you know, get around having to, you know, add those things all into the game experience and whatnot, they created this little like shop in Undertale that you just went to, and, you know, I think you just paid this little dog at a shrine money over and over and over again until you finally popped this like platinum trophy, and I'm just like, this is such a weird thing here. Like, what was the point of this? It didn't add anything to this game except for these little funny goofy things that you get to see, and they're kind of like Easter eggs. So
that would be interesting too. I just thought about it as you were mentioning that. It would be interesting to do just have trophies still there, but they don't go to anything. Like the trophy pops and I'll tell you like a cool little thing,
yeah,
or a funny little clip. Oh, you got a trophy for doing this. Like you unlock this, but you don't get a score. You don't get anything. You get that trophy, you see a trophy pop and stuff, but you don't have like a score or anything.
Oh, you mean like people don't have this thing that carries across outside of your actual game?
You just see it in the game, but you get it in the game, and so you don't have to keep like, oh man, I need to get this trophy to get my score higher, and it keeps getting higher. You get the trophy, but it doesn't go to anything.
Okay.
It's within the game. You're completing it within the game kind of thing.
Okay. I can see what you would mean there. I do think that would be like if that was to take that turn, right? And people be like, "Okay, like we're not going to tie this to like your main account and stuff." Like one, obviously like gamers would be like, "That sucks."
For sure.
But then like, you know, two, like even, you know, I feel like even people who aren't super into it might look at it and be like, "That's kind of a weird like change of course kind of thing." But then also it's like the developers would be like, "Why would we even do this?"
At all, exactly.
Cuz it's like it's not going to add anything like a value to our game, and it's not going to add anything of value to person's experience and stuff. So it's like, okay, we're just not going to work on it. Mm-hmm. Then it sounds like it would become probably maybe going back in terms of like, okay, like these things aren't mandatory anymore. You can do it if you want, but
right,
no one's like forcing you kind of thing. So I do. Yeah. That is kind of one of the things where it's like, you know, in terms of looking at this, like how things have changed over time with all this. I think, you know, maybe before this conversation in my mind, I was like, you know, trophies aside from, you know, bad trophy lists and bad achievement lists and stuff, they seem like they're kind of like, you know, obviously here to stay, but then also like as good as it's going to get. Like, you know, I don't really know how to improve these things, but like, you know, talking through all this, you know, curation of all these things sounds like it would be kind of the way to go, which, you know, which is nice because it means that these things are not in their like final form and hopefully can kind of get better
right
throughout the generations and stuff.
Do you think that you'll, for sure, I don't think you'll go away from getting trophies and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But do you think you'll eventually get to a point where you'll be more willing to try like games on the Switch or games?
Oh,
just games, yeah, in general, yeah. Just to, like to try them, not just because they don't have trophies, kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I would say that I'm still fine with doing that stuff because, you know, sometimes I'll find a game that comes up on the Switch and I'm just like, I've never heard of this thing. Like, I don't know, random. What's a random thing? There's something called like Evan Remains or something like that. It was a game that came out, I think, like last year, the year before. It was like a puzzle-ish kind of mystery game, I think.
Okay.
That just like popped up on the Switch store at one point, and I was just like, oh, like this is kind of cool looking, and I don't know what's going on, but I'm interested. And it was like only a few bucks, and I was like, yeah, I'll pick this up,
yeah,
and try it out.
Yeah.
And I think eventually it did come over somewhere else as well, but because I have it on the Switch, I was like, oh, you know, I've got it there. I don't need to go and like buy it again. Also, I don't know if I like it yet or not, so right, I'm exactly, not just going to exactly purchase it. But yeah, it's like those type of things. I'll try them out. But yeah, I think it's just like, I think the Switch thing for me, it's not necessarily that it's not always that there's no like, you know, trophy system or achievement system kind of thing. It's more just that like I find the games on the like, you know, current gen and like last gen of like Sony and Xbox just prettier overall?
That's a whole different story.
Yeah, here, that's so. A whole different thing. We can talk about that another time. But yeah, I think it's just, yeah, then it's just kind of like, oh, you know, I just kind of want to play it. When I'm on the go, like I'm not able to like sit and like play something usually.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like, you know, I'm either sitting like at home in front of the TV to play games, or, you know, I'm out doing like work and just regular life stuff. And so then I'm just like, okay, well, handheld, even though I have my Vita and that works sometimes when I'm like on the go, like on the plane or something, usually like if I go on a plane, I'll bring my Vita and the Switch, but only then, because, you know, one of them will die partway through and then I gotta switch to something else. No pun intended. But yeah, it's just that kind of thing where it's like, I want to be able to, you know, play if I want to play, but then also, you know, when I have the choice, I play on a TV rather than handheld type of thing.
I've noticed, because watching kind of funny and stuff, because I know Andy and Tim are big on that side too. Like they, because bless example, there, I watched the recent one they were doing a score of like rated 1 through 4 and like the upcoming games and like which one you're most excited for.
I was listening to that this morning.
Yeah, great episode. And they've got it to No More Heroes 3.
Yeah.
And Blessing was like, oh man, 4, 3, 4, I'm ready for this. Tim was like, yeah, I'm ready for this too.
Yeah.
But then Andy was like, oh man, this game just looks messy. And like, I get where he's coming from, because he did say, I would like to play it in like high resolution and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then part of me was, I'm like, this is, again, totally my opinion on this. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
But it's still going to be fun.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to look crisp and amazing. It'll still be a good game, and it shouldn't be a reason not to play, but I understand.
Yeah. And that was the thing too, where I laughed, because I don't think I've heard anyone else talk about it like that.
There's definitely people,
except for me, where I was just like, you know, like, and that was my only experience, was on the trailer where I was like, this doesn't look good.
Yeah.
But then I know you were excited for it, and I was like, I know people that, you know, are excited for it, including you, but then I'm just like, am I crazy? Like, am I not seeing that, like, this looks better, like, for other people when they watch the thing? And, like, maybe it's just my computer at the time was weird. And so I was just like, maybe I'm just crazy. And then Andy was like, it doesn't look good. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, okay, I'm not crazy anymore. Yeah. Oh, that felt so good.
Yeah, least, Andy's mentioned graphics and just good, like, art things a big thing for him. So there's a lot of people like that, so it makes sense.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think, you know, I'm sure part of... I would assume part of that is probably also because, you know, Andy having some background in like game development and stuff and animation. Yeah. So it's just kind of like, you know, he probably notices it more if that's the case. But if anything too, like, yeah, there is that kind of, it's slowly becoming more of a thing where I'm just like, yeah, I want it to look good. You know, like I think because over time, you know, like obviously we've played games for a long time at this point, like since we were kids. And over time, like, things have gotten better and better and better looking, where now it's like we're at this point where, you know, systems aren't really changing too much anymore, and the way games aren't really, like, the way games look and stuff aren't really changing that drastically anymore, where it's not like, you know, we go from, I don't know, The Last of Us Part 1 to Part 2 and we're like, man, it's like leaps and bounds ahead. It still looks better,
but
it's not like this crazy, like, drastic change. But it's like, okay, like, well, I want things to all look good, you know, and when it's like slightly moving backwards or in like, you know, it just feels like janky kind of thing, I'm just like, ah, it throws me off a little bit. I feel like, I'm sure that it's probably part of me just trying to figure out like where to put my time in things. Cause I'm just like, man, if I can find any excuse to like cut some games out of what I'm going to play.
Right.
I'll take it. there's not enough time for anybody to play all these things. So I'm just like, man, if that can add into it maybe a little bit, then I'll be like, sure. If that one looks weird, maybe I'll play something else and I can just worry about it later.
I think this would be a good discussion to come back to later.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm definitely more on like the opposite side of things, but that's something we can like dive into and stuff.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds like another cool topic of the week.
We should keep this a recurring thing. I like this.
Yeah, I like it too. I think it's just I gotta bring in a like juicy one. You know, I gotta something that
we both don't agree on, but I think that we are like on almost on like opposite sides, so we can like
we can go back and forth, because that's, you know, it's a conversational type of thing.
Exactly.
So I like having these things with you, Michael.
Not like, oh yeah, I agree. You're so right, 100%, high five, yeah.
That's the kind of podcast that people are listening for.
Oh, totally.
Like, you think that too? Me too. Next topic.
All right. 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10.
Oh my gosh, that'd be great. Could you imagine Could you imagine if the world, nobody disagreed on things?
Oh my God.
It'd be crazy.
That would be crazy.
Oh man. Okay. Now, I have one last thing that I'm going to go through before we go along on a side quest over here. There was, cause I don't think I have anything else. Yeah. I think as far as like, you know, things coming up, I'm excited for Returnal, you know, coming out real soon.
I've heard it balls hard.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I've been like, hearing that as well. Real
blessing. And a bunch of other people. It's like, I don't know why, who's going to beat this in the time frame, because ooh, I'm still in the first two biomes.
Dang. Okay. Now I'm intrigued. So I've been just like blackout on this thing where I'm just like, I want to play this because the trailers have made me interested in it now again. Housemark. I loved Resogun, but I'm just like, man, I was like, I don't know about Returnal. Like, it seems like it could be good. Obviously I picked it for my fantasy league, so I have some faith in it, but yeah. I'm just like, you know, we'll see what happens. But as more trailers came out, I'm like, ooh, this looks real cool.
It's
like,
I
like the story going on here. And that was what I think I was missing originally, where I was like, the game looks cool, but story, what are they going to do? And now I'm just like, okay, I think I'm in.
It's going to get you points. That's for sure.
Oh man. Hopefully.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, so obviously that one's coming out soon. I think there will be some smaller indie things maybe coming out as well, but I can't remember what those are right now. Mm-hmm. But there is a thing that happened during this past week that happened for it's PS4 games, right? And it brought me down this weird direction where I don't want to come on a podcast that we enjoy and stuff and just kind of like bash on things, right?
Yeah,
like,
no.
I want you know, to bring up stuff and...
Negativity sucks.
Yeah, negativity sucks, right? But I had a weird thing that popped up because, I mean, as people know, right? I enjoy an easy trophy list every now and then, right? And I will go and, like, you know, spend some money on easy trophy lists just, you know, just for numbers' sakes, you know? There's a new, like, player in this market, apparently. And they're called Breakthrough Gaming. Breakthrough Gaming Arcade is kind of how you can search for it on the store. Or if you just search Breakthrough, right, you find a few games. They've been kind of slowly coming out with more and more games lately. And at first I was like, oh, you know, like my trophy mind was like, oh, hey, like, you know, it's a 99 cent platinum. Easy peasy, why not? And so I was like, okay, I clicked on one of them. And I forget which one I clicked on. I think it was actually Avoid Them. It's the most recent one, I believe.
Okay.
I clicked on one of them, right? Because they have five things on the PS4 store right now. There is Racing. And I'm going to leave out the Breakthrough Gaming Arcade at the end of all these things because it's always the same.
Right.
So their games, without that in the title, are Racing, Football, Skateboarding, Baseball, and Avoid Them. And I had a little chuckle at myself because my brain, like, pun-wise, was like, I looked, after kind of reading up on, like, everything here, I saw Avoid Them and then, you know, dash Breakthrough Gaming Arcade. And I was like, I'm going to avoid them. I'm going to avoid it.
I see what you're doing.
But let me, Michael, you love baseball.
Yeah? I do love baseball.
Let me read you a description of Breakthrough Gaming's baseball game, right?
I want to state this first. These look like games that you find them, like, you ever go on that website back in the day, Newgrounds?
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Stuff like that.
They look like Flash games.
Yeah.
Like bad Flash games, yeah. Right? So baseball, right, which is what the game is called, came out the 27th of this year. Oh, sorry, 27th of March of this year. And this is the description here, right? It says, in the Breakthrough Gaming Arcade series, play arcade games that express a biblical truth. In Breakthrough Gaming Arcade Baseball, you're one of the superstars of the local baseball team. Be the outfielder and catch those baseballs. This game illustrates the need to pay attention to the important things in life. Based on Thessalonians chapter 5 in the Bible. And I was like, what?
Are these religious games?
Yeah, that's where I was like, I gotta actually like look at all these things now and read because I have no idea what's going on anymore. And then, you know, this stuff is, I thought was hilarious as I'm kind of reading through. You know, games will put out game features and like other things like that in the description. So this game's features are simple gameplay and controls, classical styled arcade fun, biblical message, a game in the Breakthrough Gaming Arcade series. That's not really a feature. That's just a statement.
Yeah.
So, let's just go past that one.
That shouldn't be that. You're like,
Okay, then we go to this is like just a, you know, it's just a suggestion at this point where it's like, this game is recommended for people who enjoy or are looking for ... right, ellipses. And then it's a long list of things.
Oh my God.
And here's the list for baseball, right? So people who enjoy or are looking for baseball games. Okay. Games from before the time the CD-ROM drive was the standard feature among game consoles.
Okay.
Anniversary collections. Which...
I don't understand that one.
A gaming museum. Simple party games. A flashback to the Genesis and early...
Genesis?
I thought you would get a kick out of that, Michael.
Why did I specifically pick the Genesis?
Okay, to the Genesis and early origins of video games. Oh, wait, maybe they're talking about just like...
Oh, to the Genesis.
The creation. Ah, dang. I
thought it was the console, too. I'm like, what? Why?
I was laughing at myself so hard when I read that originally because I thought they were talking about like capital G Genesis.
It's more of a Bible term, I feel.
Yes, yeah. It's like the creation and early origins of video games. Okay, games with simple geometry graphics. Retro 2D pixel art baseball sims. That's very specific.
That's very specific.
I can't think of any retro 2D pixel art baseball sims.
There is none.
Yeah, except here. Baseball. there we go. Here we go. A baseball player simulator or manager. This game specifically, I'm gonna call BS on that because you just control your character to catch a baseball. You don't manage any you don't manage any teams or anything, so I think that's a little not true. A game for a man, woman, boy, or girl. Games for tween, teen, and young adult boys and girls. Games for kids. College and or professional pro baseball.
Why don't I just say everybody? Honestly.
Gaming at an arcade cabinet. Arcade games not set during wars.
I just see the last one.
Hold on, almost there. Old styled games. 8-bit and 16-bit retro styled games. Retro styled video game music, soundtracks, and graphics. Black and white games. Oh. High score games. There you go.
Thank God. When it said black and white games, I thought it, for some reason, I said for black and white people games.
Oh,
I'm like, what is that? Then? Okay, that's better. That's better.
Okay. And then here we go. It's just, you know, about the game, sorry, the Breakthrough Gaming Arcade series. In the games of the Breakthrough Gaming Arcade series, you play arcade-styled games that express a biblical truth. Again. Purchase more great classics in this collection of games playable on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 in the PlayStation Store today. And I guess it has a little bit about them. It says, you know, they create Christian-themed entertainment in the form of video games, animation, comics, and related products. You can visit their websites. I'm not going to read it. But...
Now, yeah. You've played... this one, right?
No, and that's
so you haven't played any of
that, and that's where I wanted to come circle back to, where I looked at all this, I started reading all the descriptions of all of them, and then looked at like their website, and I was just like, nah, guys, I ain't gonna like feed this monster, because it's one thing if I will buy a Legends of Legends of Talia Arcadia, and it's a visual novel, I get a platinum in like a minute
seconds,
and a half,
yeah.
Right? I will do that. I will rebuy a game if I, enjoyed it and, maybe it's like 30, 40 bucks or something and I will, rebuy it on another system if I can, also either play through it again or just like, bring my progression over and then it pops a trophy list again, like a second one type of thing. I'll go and do that.
Right.
So obviously, I'm in it for trophies on a significant level.
Yeah.
I'm not going to touch these ones because they are 99 cents and it's real enticing for someone like myself. And I'm just like, nah, like it's such a weird, it's a weird thing.
Like nothing against religion or anything, but because I thought you played it. So I was going to ask, what are the messages? Like, what do they show?
And so, okay. So I tried to look into it a little bit, from what I've seen. And then, yeah, this is not, not us like bashing on like religion.
No, not at all.
I'm Christian, and so it's not an issue for me there. But the weird, like, the weirdness of all this, it seems very like, it doesn't seem like it's like, oh hey, like, you're gonna learn. It's, if this was like a game where it's like, it's bringing me through like Bible verses and it's got something to do with the game, I'd be like, okay, cool. And like that makes sense. If it's just like I'm moving little Jimmy baseball character around, he's catching a 2D ball, and I catch like 15 of them and boom, platinum trophy. And then I think from what I've seen is that like, when you, I don't know if it's when you like close out of the game or like finish the game or something like that, because it's all like high score type things. Maybe it's when you like fail to like catch so many times or something, right? Or like, you know, if you're racing and you crash into like a hole or something. A thing from what I've seen, it pops up on the screen and it's just like that same, you know, that same thing that I mentioned where it's like, oh, like, you know, here, let me, sorry, I opened up racing to look at another thing here, but I'll go back to, oh, not that one, not skateboarding. I'll go back to baseball. The baseball message, right, was, you know, the need to pay attention to the important things in life based on blah, blah, blah in, you know, chapter 5 of the Bible, right? I think something like that pops up on the screen where it's just like, oh, you know, this is talking about this specific theme, you know, go reference like this part of the Bible and like learn about the Bible type of thing. That's just like, it's like a, I'm like, a, okay, this doesn't connect in my brain, you know, it's not like I play this baseball game and I'm like, oh, you know what? I had fun with this. Let me go read this thing in the Bible.
Yeah. The thing that I don't like is, I'm not going to say not a lot of people are going to read the description of the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So they're going to buy the game with no...
no idea what they're even going towards.
Yeah. That there's going to be Bible verses or Christian themes in it and stuff. So they're going to be like, what is this?
If it pops up, they're like... they have no context.
Exactly.
No context. It's like all of a sudden there's this thing just pops up. That. It's like, hey, like, you know, this game may make you think of these things, and you know, you can go read this thing in the Bible if you want to think more about
it. Exactly.
It's
like, what? So weird.
It's a weird thing.
At least show that like on the cover or something.
Yeah, very, very strange. And I guess like the only thing that you do see on there is like when it's next to like, you know, the word breakthrough gaming on there, there is like a cross.
I didn't
register as like that's what that was originally. I thought it was just like a thing between that and arcade.
Yeah.
And afterwards that I was like, sense. Oh, now it makes more sense. But what was the... A few of these, because they literally kind of just switch up the, what's called, the, like, you know, recommended for people who enjoy or looking for dot, dot, dot. They switch up those things. A few of them have these things in there where it's like, you know, it says, like, so for racing, right? Some of the things it says, people who enjoy or are looking for the Zippy the Circle series, the ZJ the Ball series, the Nick and Kit series, the Project Summer Ice series, and I'm just like, what are these things? And I think after I saw their website and stuff, I believe they are just other games they have created in the past, which, you know, have nothing to do with, you know, this game that I'm looking at on here, racing. And it's just like, you know, it's like, oh, it's, you're just kind of turning people in towards other things you've created that have nothing to do with this racing game that you put out on the PS4. And I'm just like, oh, this is weird.
This is not what I expected.
Yeah, yeah. So that was,
you mentioned this before, like, oh, easy trophy games.
Yeah, I did. Wow. without any like knowledge, I was just like, hey man, this baseball game popped up on here and it's only 99 cents, and I can get a platinum for catching 15 balls or something. But then I read and I'm like, oh no.
Wow.
This
right.
is not something I want to agree with here in terms of just like, this is I think an example of what I would call like a cash grab kind of thing.
Yes.
You know, where it's like, clearly, you know, clearly there are some publishers that take advantage of this, where like Rodolica Games, let's not think that they're not taking advantage of this platinum system and knowing that it makes people buy their games more. They clearly know that, like, hey, if you tell the developers to put an easy trophy list in here, people will buy it just for that, and you can, you know, charge your thing and you get money like that, right?
Right.
Even if it's just a port from like, you know, the iOS or something like that. But for, yeah, like these things, it's like, it's to like almost like another level where it's like, okay, like we're just going to throw this thing out here. These things clearly don't seem that hard to make in terms of, you know, it's not graphically taxing or anything like that, that you right. have to put these things into code. And then, yeah, as long as you kind of just put these things out here, 99 cents each one, platinum trophy, people will buy this, you know? And I think it's just, yeah, it's a weird move.
It's very weird.
This is one of those steps where I'm just like, you know, not this really kind of also say. Brought up that thought where I'm just like, you know, maybe trophies.
Yeah, maybe this isn't the right.
Maybe path. Trophies do cause some negative things in video games.
Maybe a little bit.
Where just like, oh, you know, maybe we're just going to try and, you know, get people to spend money without realizing what they're spending on, type of thing. And I'm just like, huh, interesting.
That's so weird, man.
But the main reason I wanted to bring it in was because of the descriptions. They made me laugh.
I thought it was the furthest thing I was expecting. I was not expecting any of that.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I just wanted to, yeah, I thought that would be like a little fun thing, because, I mean, clearly we've gone past these things in the store. I've considered buying one or two of them, and I was like, whoa, this is weird. What's happening here? So I thought I'd bring it up just to kind of, you know, go over and be like, you know, this ties in with our whole talk of, like, you know, maybe trophies aren't the best thing
maybe
ever for some occasions. And I think there are some occasions now that we can see probably.
Yeah, some examples there.
Where it's like, huh, you know, like, you know, just if you want to spread those that stuff, just be normal about it, you know?
Yeah, don't do any of that.
We'll yeah, just don't like hide it, you know? We don't need Trojan horses, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, man. Okay, well, that's what I had for everything there, Michael. Why don't you take me on a little side quest
here? I'll take you on a side quest. A very good indie-centric side quest. So this week is going to be an indie game quiz.
Okay.
Again, 5 questions. A couple are multiple choice. A couple are not.
Okay.
And you should roughly know.
Okay.
Number 1. In what U.S. state does Gone Home take place?
Oh, man.
Now, I can give you a hint, but you'll still get the point because I didn't give you a multiple choice.
Okay. Yeah, so like, freak, there's 50 states. I have a 1 in 50 chance right now.
So the hint is Fulbright, who make the game.
Uh-huh.
Where are they located?
Oh, wait, is it in Washington? No? Hold on a second. Where's Fulbright located? Because I was in my head. I'm like, oh, they also made Tacoma.
Yeah.
So like, I'm like, oh, it's Tacoma, Washington.
I will say you're close with Washington.
Dang, really? Hmm.
Like real close.
They're not in Oregon, are they? Is it really?
Yep.
Oh,
they're in Portland.
Wow. Okay, that's really cool.
So where
Steve
does...
Gaynor? We gotta go find the Steve Gaynor dude, man.
Where does the game take place? What state?
What state? Oregon.
There you go.
Nice. Oh, man.
That was a really fed for you there.
You kind of spoon-fed me that one.
I'll still give you the point, though.
Okay, cool.
Number 2. In Metatron's quiz show in Undertale, he states this line.
Oh, no.
So what if a few people have to die? ... What is the second part of this quote?
Oh, jeez.
A, more drama the better. B, that's the way the cookie crumbles. C, that's show business, baby. D, that's entertainment, kid.
I'm going to say the show business one.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
You are correct.
Yeah, okay.
My writing's not very good.
That was good, though. I was just like, man, this is tough.
Number 3, in the indie game Fury, that you may know.
Ooh,
or may not,
okay, yeah.
How many total bosses are there? Not including DLC.
Ah,
just
dang it.
Mainline game.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. I love this game.
I know you do.
Hold on. Okay, hold on a second. Let me see if I can drag up all the bosses in my memory. Okay, so there's the one in the very beginning who's like in the purple world and he's like a jailer. Then there's the lady who's crazy. Then you go to, oh shoot, hold on a second. Then you go to the time mage man. That's 3. Then you go to, hold on a second. After time mage, where do you go? I think you go to the crazy like sewer rat dude who's like 4. People are like, what is this game?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, wait, so I think sewer rat is next, and then I think it's like the shield guy, and then after shield man or around shield man there's like angel lady. That's 6. I think soon after that there's like sniper wolf.
Sniper wolf? That's what I'm going here with. Now.
Going with Sniper Wolf over here. Okay, and besides Sniper Wolf, I know for sure there's like little sister girl who's not your sister, but she reminds me of little sister. that's 8. Hold on a second. Am I thinking of any major? Am I missing any major ones? Now it gets tough because then if you like the way that you play the game, there can be other bosses, or you can just finish the game kind of thing.
We're strictly.
So like if you were to do like all the main bosses, or are you talking about just like including the like ending that gets you more bosses?
All the bosses that helps you beat the game.
Gotcha.
From start to finish.
Okay. I'm gonna say 8.
Is 8 your final answer?
Yeah.
There are 10.
Ah, oh, freak. Who am I thinking of? Okay, so, wait, because there
I'll
is...
I'll name them off.
Okay, yeah, okay, because there's also...
There's the Burst.
Oh, geez. Okay, hold on. Is that what his name is?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll show you a picture.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Show me a picture. That works. Okay, so that's Sniper Wolf. Here we go.
There's the Star.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that is one of the... So that's one of the, like, continued
bosses. Okay, okay.
Okay, so that, I'll count that as a continued thing.
The Edge.
Oh, dang it. I forgot Samurai Jack in there. Okay, yeah.
The Scale.
Yeah, okay. He's Sewer Rat.
The Strap.
Yeah, she Crazy Lady.
The Song, the Angel
yep,
Lady.
Yep, Angel Lady. Yep, yep.
The Hand.
Uh-huh, the Shield Man.
The Line.
Yep, yep, Time Mage.
The Chain.
The Jailer Guy, yep.
And then the Beat.
Yeah, yeah, and Little Sister. Okay, oh, I was missing Samurai Jack in there. Dang it.
Samurai Jack.
Oh, my gosh.
God, you were almost 3 for 3 there.
I was so close, man. You were so close. I had all the bosses in there except Samurai Jack.
You did very well there.
Okay.
See, you get a participation point there.
Oh, man, we're getting participation points here, man.
Okay.
Okay.
Number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd really like if you got this one right.
Oh, okay.
What is the kingdom where Hollow Knight takes place called?
Hollow Nest? Or are we talking about, wait, hold on, kingdom?
The kingdom. Now, okay. I'll give you multiple choice.
Okay, yes, okay.
A, Howling Cliffs.
Okay.
B, Dirt Mouth.
Mm-hmm.
C, Hollow Nest. D, the Pale Nest.
Ah, freak.
The kingdom. The whole...
The Over Kingdom?
Kingdom.
Wait, sorry, read one more time?
A, mm-hmm. The Howling Cliffs.
Mm-hmm.
B, Dirt Mouth.
Mm-hmm.
C, Hollow Nest. Hollow, not hollow. Hollow Nest.
Yeah.
D, the Pale Nest.
I think I still want to stick with Hollow Nest, but...
That's your final answer?
Yeah.
You were correct.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm glad you got that. Dirt Mouth is the first starting location.
Yeah, that's why I was like, Dirt Mouth sounds like the beginning place.
The Pale Nest does not exist. I just did the Pale King and Nest.
Gotcha.
And then the Howling Cliffs is one of the later areas you go to.
Gotcha.
And number 5... Out of these indie games,
mm-hmm.
which is my favorite? Hmm. Out of these 4.
Okay.
A, Hotline Miami. B, Cuphead.
Mm-hmm.
C, Shovel Knight.
Uh-huh.
D, Night in the Woods.
Oh. You throwing me
I didn't put Hades. I didn't put...
Yeah, I was like, you throwing me off easy. Here. Yeah, so I'm like looking for the I'm looking for the slow ball over here. Okay, hold on a second. So... In the woods.
One hotline.
Wait, what?
One Hotline Miami.
Oh,
A Hotline Miami, sorry. I had a stroke there. B, Cuphead. Mm-hmm. C, Shovel Knight. D, Night in the Woods.
Interesting. I think... Huh.
To give you context, I've beaten 3 of these games.
3 of them.
And 1 halfway, 3/4.
Okay. It's tough because, like, in my memory, I remember you playing a lot of Night in the Woods. But also, it's kind of a longer game if you're taking it in bursts.
Yes.
Hotline Miami, I think you liked. I don't remember if you beat Shovel Knight or not.
I did.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'll just say the one I didn't beat was Cuphead.
Oh, Cuphead. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I know you like Cuphead, but also Cuphead's pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll say Night in the Woods.
Is that not your final answer?
Yeah.
You'd be wrong. Hotline Miami.
Oh, it was. I was like, Hotline? It was, I'm not Hotline. I was like, it's either Night in the Woods or Hotline Miami.
And I played like, the mess out of that on the Vita.
Okay. And see, that's where I was like, okay, like, that's an old game. Like, maybe it's something more recent.
Yep.
So nope. I was like, ah, dang.
Night in the Woods is very good. Mm-hmm. Some weird things in it, but Hotline Miami, one of my favorites.
Nice. How many was that total?
There? You got 4 out of, no, you got 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5, okay. It's holding solid, man.
There, you're consistent. Consistency. I like
Give
it.
Me that 60%, man. Oh, man.
Wait, is that 60?
3 out of 5? Yeah,
that's okay. 60.
Yeah. Quick math. I can't do quick
Better
math.
Better than I am.
Well, thank you, everyone, again, for tuning in for another episode of the Bros and Consoles podcast. As always, you can write into brosandconsoles@gmail.com. Just like, I think it was Juliet something. Hold on a second.
Such an L,
Where'd my
right?
phone? Where'd my phone? I'm going to pull it out again. Drop her name one more time.
Say hi again, please.
Juliet Frankel. There we go.
Frankel.
Sorry. So, hi once again. And, you know, anyone who else wants to write in, feel free. Maybe put in a subject line, Like, you can even just put like BNC podcast or something like that, just so we know if it's spam or not. Because I get nervous, you know. Sometimes I get nervous where I see something, and I'm like, I don't know if I should click on this.
Don't want to open this.
Because I literally, you know, it popped up in my phone when I you know, I'll see the notifications. I have like 16,000 unread emails apparently. Which, you know, on a side note,
it's probably common.
It's weird because I was at like 11,000 recently because I've been trying to delete stuff.
Right.
Like previously, I think back when I was in school, I was like 30-something thousand. And I'm just like, I ain't got time for this, guys. But lately, I've been trying to delete emails, going through like, you know, old emails and things I don't need anymore. And then, I'll periodically go through my different boxes and I see that, you know, I had one on for the Bros and Consoles thing. I was like, oh, cool. I checked it out. And it just says, you know, no subject underneath hi. And I'm just like,
that could be ominous.
Seems like it could be ominous, but I don't know. But yeah, if you get, you know, subject line, just, you know, podcast question, something like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just podcast and then just, you know, underneath hi. That's totally fine.
That's fine too.
But yeah, you can write into brosandconsoles@gmail.com. You can find us on, you know, usual places, PSN, sometimes Xbox occasionally. Mostly like the Switch and stuff.
Yep.
And PS4, PS5 kind of things. I am Indie Ronin on there. Michael is a side quest. And till next time, hope you guys are staying safe and healthy. Play lots of cool games and tell us about it. Tell us if you think trophies are ruining games or not. It'd be great.
We just get emails coming.
It's just one word, just yes. The subject line podcast.
Oh, that's funny.
That'd be funny. Okay, but yeah, until next time, hope you guys are all staying safe and healthy, and thanks for listening in. Peace out, everybody, and cheers.